All right, well, I'd like to introduce our keynote speaker. The topic today is referral marketing, and I would like to share with you how important referral marketing is in networking. I'm going to tell you, I've had a lot of business success. I've been very blessed, and what I shared with you the other day and what I've been sharing with you for years is that all of business is about relationships. Is that true? All of business and all of life is about relationships, and I can tell you that I've built my companies through referrals. Many of you have implemented our referral marketing processes, and I'm going to tell you that a person that heavily influenced my referral marketing, a person that I've learned from books, interviews, and things like that over the years, been Ivan Meisner. I've been studying him for many, many years. So let me share Ivan Meisner's bio. Dr. Ivan Meisner is the founder and chief visionary officer of BNI, the world's largest business networking organization. Founded in 1985, the organization now has over 7,600 chapters throughout every populated continent of the world. Last year alone, BNI generated over 7.7 million referrals, resulting in more than $9.3 billion worth of business for its members. Dr. Meisner's PhD is from the University of Southern California. He is a New York Times best-selling author who has written 21 books. He is also a columnist for Entrepreneur.com and has been a university professor as well as a member of the Board of Trustees for the University of Laverne. In addition, he is a partner for Ascentive, a referral training and coaching company with offices around the world. Called the father of modern networking by CNN and one of the top networking experts by Forbes, Dr. Meisner is considered to be one of the world's leading experts on business networking and has been a keynote speaker for major corporations and associations throughout the world. He has been featured in the LA Times, Wall Street Journal, and New York Times, as well as numerous TV and radio shows, including CNN, the BBC, and the Today Show on NBC. He is proud to be the co-founder of the BNI Charitable Foundation. Among his many awards, he has been named Humanitarian of the Year by the Red Cross and was recently the recipient of the John C. Maxwell Leadership Award. He and his wife, Elizabeth, are now empty nesters with three adult children. Oh, and in his spare time, lots of that. He is also an amateur magician and a black belt in karate. So why don't we give a better than phenomenal welcome to Dr. Ivan Meisner.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
My pleasure. Let's get a photo.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Let's get a photo here.
Photo op.
Okay.
Those are important.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. Hey, it is fantastic to be here. The Inner Circle Conference, yeah? This is great. I have an opportunity today to talk a little bit about networking and networking like a pro, and how do you build your business through referrals and through word of mouth. I'll be talking for a while, and then we'll be bringing up one of my co-authors. So you get a twofer. You get a two for one. You have me for about an hour talking about building your business through referrals, and then one of my co-authors, Brian Hilliard, will be coming on up and spending about 30 minutes with you talking a little bit more about networking and building your business through referrals. My goal is that when you leave here today, you really have a handful of techniques and concepts that you can go out and actually use on a day-to-day basis to become a more effective a business professional through networking and through referral marketing. So let's get started. Okay. Networking is both a mindset and a skill set. You need to understand both of these concepts in order to build a powerful personal network, both the mindset and the skill set. And they're really different. And I think what happens is that all too often people teach the skill set. Okay, here's what you do. You go on out, you do this, and you say this, and here are the techniques that you use. But they don't teach the mindset of it. And I'm here to tell you, if you don't understand the mindset piece of it, the skill set's going to fall flat. You have to understand the mindset piece of it. So what's going to happen this morning is that I'm going to spend a fair amount of time talking about the mindset, and then I'm going to go into the skill set, and I'll talk about a number of skills that you need to apply consistently. And then Brian's going to finish up with a lot more skill set. So you'll get a really well-rounded picture of the kind of content that we have, both in the book, Networking Like a Pro, and in the presentations that we have today. Okay. EQ stands for emotional quotient. Emotional quotient. Actually, let me back up here. All right, emotional quotient. People may hire you because you're really smart, you're very intelligent, your IQ, but the truth is people are going to promote you or do business with you continuously because of your EQ, your ability to interact effectively with other business professionals. This is really important. A high emotional quotient is really critical. And we don't teach this in colleges and universities anywhere in the world. We don't teach emotional intelligence, social capital, business networking. It's just not taught. And I find this very, very frustrating that we don't teach emotional quotient. And there's a couple of reasons for it. One of them is that most people really think that networking is extremely important. This book, this data comes from this book that you see there, Business. The book is called Business Networking and Sex. Not what you think. As a matter of fact, that's the subtitle, Not What You Think. It's about the difference between men and women and how they network. Okay? So it's I know there's somebody going, oh, I thought it was better than that. So no, it's about the, it's about gender, but when we were doing the book and we were thinking business networking and gender, nobody's going to pick up that book. So business networking and sex, but Not What You Think. It's about the difference between men and women. One of the questions we asked was, has networking played a role in your success? We surveyed 12,000 people from all over the world. And as you heard in my introduction, I'm the founder of BNI. These were not just BNI members. This was open to the public. Just out of curiosity, though, let me see. How many of you are current or have been? How many of you have been in or currently are in BNI? Hey, wow. Okay, large number of you. Fantastic. This survey was done open to the public. So many people participated. And I say that because the number is staggering. I mean, look at that. 91.4% of the respondents to this survey said, yes, networking has played a role in my success. 91.4%. That's huge. So if 91% of the average business person says networking has played a role in my success, why aren't we teaching this in colleges and universities anywhere in the world? It's just not being taught. I have a theory as to why we're not teaching. Would you like to hear my theory? All right, but before I tell you my theory, are there any full-time tenured professors in business in the audience? No? Okay, because they don't like my theory very much, but this is my theory. And let me tell you, I taught at a state university and at a private university for almost 16 years in the business school. I've been on the board of trustees for a private university for the last 7 or 8 years. So I've seen the university process. When I was a professor, I was an adjunct professor, which is like a part-time professor. So I've been there as an adjunct professor. I've been there as the board of trustees where the president reports to. So I've seen the universities from both ends of the spectrum, and I have a pretty good sense of the university process, the university system. And here's why we don't teach networking, I believe, in colleges and universities anywhere in the world. I had an opportunity to meet with a university president, and he said, look, we're graduating students in business, and I would really like the dean to have a sense for what it is that we're not teaching in school. And maybe would you be kind enough to meet with the dean and talk to him about what it is that we're not teaching so that we can do a better job of teaching our students? I said, absolutely, I'm happy to do that. And we had lunch. The president was great. I'm sitting there with the dean of the school of business at this private university and with the president of the university. And the president laid up the conversation perfectly. and said, Ivan, would you mind maybe sharing with our dean here what it is that we're not teaching in school that you as a business owner really feel is important? And I said, happy to do that. I think one of the things that we're not teaching is referral marketing, business networking, emotional intelligence, social capital. These are all, you know, people-related development skills, and we're absolutely not teaching them in colleges and universities anywhere in the world. And the dean said to me these very words, we will never teach that in this university. Networking is a soft science. That's what he said. Networking is a soft science. Okay. I kind of expected that he would say something kind of like that. So I said to him, all right, so you don't teach any soft science in the business school? He said, absolutely not. Sorry? Do you teach leadership? Now, I read the curriculum. I knew the answer to this question, but I wanted him to admit it. And he said, well, yeah, we teach leadership. So he knew what was coming next, and what was coming next was, Dean, I studied under Warren Bennis, Dr. Warren Bennis at the University of Southern California, who passed away a couple of years ago, but in his day was considered the world's leading expert on leadership. You can open up almost any book, including books, many books by John Maxwell, who I met recently, many books by John, and he'll quote Warren Bennis. Warren Bennis was really the original leader on leadership. And I said to him, you know, Warren, Dr. Bennis once said to me, leadership is a soft science. And we don't teach soft sciences in universities, and that's a real shame, because we need to teach more of it. So I said, it's not that you don't teach soft science, because clearly you've just admitted you do after you said you didn't, but the real question is, why won't you teach this? And he just said, this is not something that we want to teach. So here's my theory. Well, I've got to give you a little more information. You have to understand that the courses taught at a university, the only possible exception are private for-profit universities. They're handled different. But private, nonprofit, public universities are all the same in this sense. The curriculum is developed by full-time tenured professors. The dean of the school cannot develop a course. They can come up with an idea, but the faculty have to be in agreement to develop the course. The full-time faculty, not an adjunct like me, the full-time tenured professors. So here's my theory. Most full-time tenured professors in business have never had a real job in their life. Thank you very much. They have never had a real job, but they teach business. They've never run a business, but they don't teach business. Now, the adjuncts teach business. I mean, run a business. I ran a business. Most of the adjuncts in there run a business. Now I stopped saying this to full-time tenured professors, obviously, for obvious reasons. They get really mad. And I had one say to me, really confront me and say, that is absolutely not true. And I said, you run a business. What do you run? He said, I am a business consultant. I said, yeah, no, that doesn't count. I'm sorry. I was a business consultant. When I started BNI, I was a business consultant, and I would work with companies, and they had incredibly difficult, highly complex problems, maybe with staffing, and they were having a hard time making payroll, and it was very, very stressful for them. I went home and slept fine that night. You know, I could work with them and help them through the problem, but it wasn't really, when push came to shove, it wasn't my mortgage on the line with this problem. It's the business owner's mortgage, so I'm sorry, no, consulting doesn't count. That's the kind of stuff that they do. So they tend to teach, think about it, they tend to teach what I call sterile marketing. Heaven forbid that I actually get my hands dirty and make a sale. Come on, think about it. Did you see, if you went to college, you went to university, did you see very many core curriculum, university courses on closing techniques? On sales techniques. No! What do they teach? They teach advertising, multi-million dollar advertising campaigns, which of course, when you graduate from college, the first job you're going to get is to manage a multi-million dollar advertising campaign for a company, right? No. By the way, now they love social media. Oh, they'll teach social media in universities. Why? Because you don't have to get your hands dirty and actually talk to someone, shake their hands, and make a sale. You don't have to do any of that. So what we have are people who don't practice business, who only teach business, teaching business people how to run a business. Therefore, they view this as a soft science, and it's not effective, and so it's not going to be taught. I have a little energy on this, obviously. I find it very, very frustrating that we don't teach this in colleges and universities. And so what I want to do with you today is give you a master class, at least an introductory master class, on networking and referral marketing. And it all begins, I believe, with a concept called the butterfly effect of networking. Now, I'm going to take a little time molding this concept for you, explaining this concept to you, because it's really, really important. It's important because I think most people tend to behave in networking in a very transactional way. I'll give you an example of what I mean. I spoke at an event in London a few years back, and there were about 900 people in the audience, and I asked all 900 people. I was a keynote speaker, and it was a conference networking thing, and we're all 900 people there, and I said, I have a question for everyone, if you don't mind. You don't have to answer. I asked them. How many of you are here today, I asked them, hoping to possibly, you know, just maybe sell something? I'm telling you, 900 people raised their hands. Everyone raised their hands. I said, great, thank you. Second question. How many of you are here today hoping, you know, maybe just possibly to buy something? No one raised their hands. Not one single person. No one. This is what I call the networking disconnect. Many people show up at networking events wanting to sell, but nobody is there to buy. People use networking events as a face-to-face cold calling opportunity. They meet someone and they size them up immediately. Is this somebody I can get something from? Now, here's something interesting. There's an interesting concept about sizing somebody up and determining whether you can get anything from them. Think about it for a moment. When you meet somebody for the first time, many of us, not all of us, maybe not you, but most of us, when we meet somebody for the first time, you're almost never, in your mind, equal. You're almost never equal. You look at them and you go, wow, that guy's really successful. You know, that's what I want to strive for. That's impressive. Or you meet someone and oftentimes you'll go, yeah, they can't help me with anything. Next. And you move on. I mean, that happens a lot, even if it's only split it in thirds, two-thirds of the time. You're looking at people and going, I can't really relate to them. They're much more successful, or they're not very successful. And so you're sizing people up. I recommend that you size them up based on something else other than how successful you think they are at the moment. Because I'm here to tell you that you never know who people know. Seriously, you never know who someone can introduce you to. And that introduction might not be to the person you're really looking for, but that introduction to the next introduction to the next introduction can, in fact, make that happen. I call this the butterfly effect of networking. And in the butterfly effect of networking, it goes like this. I came up with the concept on that island, Necker Island. I was sitting in the great room of Necker Island. This is the Great Room. They rebuilt the Great Room, but about 10 years ago, this was the Great Room. 9 years ago, 2007, the Great Room only had one, the entire island had internet only in one place. It was in the Great Room. So you had to go from your cabana over to the Great Room to do the internet. And one day I was sitting there in the Great Room, and up walks Sir Richard Branson of Virgin Atlantic, Virgin Galactic, Virgin everything. And he says, excuse me, what are you doing? I said, well, I have a blog that has to go out and has to go out today. And I made a commitment to Entrepreneur that I would do a blog on a regular basis. And so I have a time commitment. And he's like, oh, man, I get those. He said, I understand completely. He said, but look, we're all outside. We're all out having fun. I mean, you look at that view. That, by the way, that was a 360-degree view. You could see the Caribbean from all sides, all windows. It was a beautiful view. He said, we're all at the pool and out in the ocean having fun. Come on out and join us. If I don't see you, make sure and sit next to me at dinner and let's talk because I'd like to learn more about what you do. And he walked off. And I sat there and I swear, I said, dang. How did I get here? No, seriously, how did I get here? What brought me to this moment in my life that a billionaire would say, hey, let's go out and play? You know? Come on, let me join. If I don't see you, let's have dinner. And then leave. I was like, wow, what brought me here? And on that day in my blog, my blog's ivanmeisner.com. You go back to, I think it's September 2007. You look at my blog, and I posted a blog called The Butterfly Effect of Networking. Now, the butterfly effect is part of chaos theory, which is a division of mathematics. And the butterfly effect says that the flapping of the wings of a butterfly basically caused some minute thing in the environment. It affects some minute thing in the environment that affects something else that affects, I'll go this way for you, that affects something else, that affects something else, that affects something else, that affects something else, that changes the weather. So that the flapping of the wings of a butterfly can in some way change the weather. It's an interesting concept, but I started thinking about it. Okay, so let's say that's true. Let me reverse engineer how I got here. Who invited me to Necker? Who introduced me to that person? Who introduced me to that person? And how did I get to this point? And this became the butterfly effect of networking that I wrote about. I don't show this diagram that I'm going to show, but the whole thing started with this individual. Her name is Kim. She was a BNI member, a business coach, and she called me up one day and she asked me for a favor. It was a favor. It wasn't an opportunity so much as a favor. The favor was she needed some material developed for the coaching company that she worked for and asked if I would just help oversee some of the development of the content, and then that BNI would be highly recognized in it. And I had to sit there and say to myself, and by the way, you're often going to be asked to do things, and you have to make a decision as to whether this is something you really want to do or not. Here's a little bit of advice. I'm going to go down a rabbit hole for a second. Here's a little bit of advice. If someone pitches an opportunity at you, ask yourself, is this on mission for my business? Is this on mission for who I am and what I'm doing? And if the answer is, yeah, this is right on mission, then you should really seriously look at it. If it's not on your mission, you should recognize that it is a distraction. Sometimes opportunities are really distractions. Or distractions are presented to you as opportunities. So you have to ask yourself, is this on mission or not? And I looked at that and I was like, doggone it, it's totally on mission for me. I do not have the time to do this, but it is totally on mission for what I want to be doing in the future. So I said, yes, I will do it. Well, I'm glad I did, because then I had an opportunity to speak at a conference. I was invited, a paid speaking engagement. I did a presentation at this conference, and at that conference, I met this other keynote speaker, Jack Canfield. Jack and I were at the speaking event together, and we really hit it off. You know, if you're with one of the world's leading experts on storytelling, you got to tell him a great story. I gave him a story that was just hysterical, had him laughing. I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but basically, I did a book signing. No one showed up except my mother. And it gets even funnier because my mother then said, oh my God, Dr. Meisner, what an honor it is to meet you. And so Jack is laughing so hard. He's like bent over like this. We really made a good connection. And Jack invited me to an organization called TLC, or the Transformational Leadership Council. How many of you have seen the movie The Secret? Yeah, about the law of attraction. Half of the people in The Secret are members of TLC. And so he invited me to the Transformational Leadership Council. And then at the Transformational Leadership Council, I met this gentleman, Mark Vicente. Mark Vicente wrote a movie called What the Bleep Do We Know Anyway? Have you heard of that movie? Okay, so he was the writer, I think he even directed What the Bleep Do We Know Anyway? Now, what the bleep do we know anyway is about quantum physics, and it's like really entertaining. And I never, ever in my lifetime thought I would put those two phrases together. But it was really entertaining. And so Mark introduced me to this woman, Nancy Sulzman. And Nancy Sulzman, now I'm reverse engineering. This is how I ended up on Necker. Okay? Nancy Sulzman does seminars on ethics. One of the people that works for her is Claire Bronfman. Claire Bronfman's sister is Sarah Bronfman. I was talking and they came over to, one of them came over for dinner with Mark one night and Nancy, and we were talking, and I happened to have some Captain Morgan's rum in the bar, and they said, "Wow, Captain Morgan's rum." I'm like, "Yeah, Captain Morgan's rum." I didn't say it, thank goodness. I hate Captain Morgan's rum. I don't know why it was in my bar, but we had a party, I guess, and there was some in there. And I said, "Yeah, why?" She said, "Well, my family was in the liquor business." And Mark leans over to me when she's not there, and he said, "Their family name is Seagram." It's like, oh, they were the liquor business, right? Sarah and Claire and Sarah Bronfman are really good friends with, guess who? Richard Branson. And one day there was a seminar being held on Necker Island. Mark Vicente called me up and he said, "Hey, Ivan, there's a seminar going on Necker Island on ethics, and we had a spot open up. Now, unfortunately, it's like 3 weeks away. Are you available?" I said, "Is Branson going to be on the island?" He said, "Yes, he will be there, and he will be a participant in the seminar." I said, "Well, hang on just a second, Mark. Let me look at my calendar." Whoa! Go figure! It's open! There we go. And so I had an opportunity to go to Necker Island and spend an entire week with Richard Branson, which is an amazing experience. And he's an amazing, amazing guy. And incredible networker at all levels of an organization. And so what I did that day was I sat down and I reverse engineered to see how was it that I got to Necker Island. And that whole relationship process took almost 3 years. That was a 3-year process, just under 3 years. We meet people and we want something from them right now. But we're not willing to invest in the relationship and build that relationship, which can lead to something else, which can lead to something else, which can lead to something else, which can change your life in some way. This is the mindset of networking. You have to understand this, that everyone, as long as they're a quality business professional, I don't care if you look at them and you say, "They have nothing to give me," or, "Oh my gosh, what am I going to do possibly to make a connection with this person?" Everybody can, in fact, be a potential relationship with you that can help lead to something amazing. Kim George was just a regular BNI member. Just a regular BNI member. By the way, here's something I recommend you do. I'd love for you to leave this conference, go back, and although not right now, stick around until the conference is over. But when you leave this conference, go back and think of one of the most amazing people that you've met in your life. What led you to meet that person? Reverse engineer it, just like this. And then here's your assignment. I want you to call the person that got it started and thank them. I picked up the phone. I called Kim. I said, "Kim." She said, "Wow, Ivan, it's great to hear from you. I haven't talked to you in a long time." I said, "Kim, I want to thank you for introducing me to Richard Branson." I swear, she hit the phone. "Hello? Ivan? This is Kim. I don't know Richard Branson. Like, let me tell you the story." And I told her the story, and she was blown away. Gratefulness, I think, is important for people who have helped you and supported you in some way, even if they don't know they did. Kim didn't know they did. But let me tell you, the butterfly effect continues. Don't think that it ends there. It's like a ripple that goes on in life. I was invited to the rollout of the White Knight 2. This is not a PR photo. This is Ivan and my wife Beth standing there with our cameras taking pictures. And that's Richard Branson, and the developer of the White Knight, the designer of the White Knight. I've been invited to the rollout of the spaceship in Mojave. Again, this is not a PR photo. This was me out in the Mojave with the big heavy jacket on because it was actually really cold that night, taking pictures of the rollout of the White Knight 2. I've been invited back to Necker Island and spent an additional week there with Branson and really got to know him. We didn't have an ethics seminar that time, and so it was really got to know him on a personal level. It was an amazing experience that I had with him. And the whole thing began with that one pebble that dropped. And I followed because it was on mission. And my following it, it led to something that led to something that led to something amazing. You've got to understand the butterfly effect as part of the mindset of networking. But you wait, there's more on the mindset. And that's this concept of VCP. If you don't get this right, if you don't understand VCP, actually I've gone, there we go. If you don't understand VCP, you will fail in your networking efforts. It is the foundation of everything Brian and I teach in Networking Like a Pro and that I teach elsewhere. VCP, it stands for visibility, credibility, profitability. You have to first be visible in the community. People have to know who you are and what you do. You know, you got to get out there and you got to connect. And there are a lot of things that you want to do right in connecting. We talk about it in there. I mean, simple things like, you know, making sure when you're out there networking, you wear a badge, unless you're up on stage speaking. You wear a badge so that people know who you are when you're networking with them and you're introducing. There's a number of techniques that you do. You get there consistently. You got to be there. How many of you have ever gotten a haircut over the phone? You know, it's there's not many people who've done that, you know. So you got to actually show up. And so being out there, being visible is so important. But then that leads to credibility. And credibility is where people know who you are. They know what you do. And they know you're good at it. That you've built credibility in the community. You've built a reputation in the community as being a quality business professional. This is really important. And this, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, takes the longest period of time. This can sometimes take a crazy long period of time, depending on what business you're in. You know, if you're a florist, it might be pretty quick because it's not really, you know, unless you're talking about a wedding, you're not talking about a ton of money. But if you're a financial planner investing in somebody's retirement income, man, it could take a long time. And so you've got to establish credibility. I mean, real credibility. And oh, by the way, it's not what you think about where you stand in credibility. It's what the other person thinks as to where you stand in credibility. Because you may feel that that person is credible to you, but the question is, does that person think you're credible? It's got to be, it really needs to be an equitable situation where they believe you're a credible business professional and you believe that. And that takes way too much time. And by the way, saying, hi, my name is Ivan, let's do business, isn't enough time. Right, and that's where networking goes wrong. People go to networking events, and they get hit on and sold, and people are trying to sell to them. They come back, and they like need a shower, because it's like, God, that was a horrible experience. And then people say, I don't like networking. Well, that's not networking.
Amen.
Here we go. That's direct selling. That's direct selling. And I would argue it's bad direct selling. It's not even good direct selling. But it's bad. So it takes a long time to get to credibility. And only after you've gotten to credibility can you finally get to profitability. And profitability is where people know who you are. They know what you do. They know you're good at it. And they're willing to give you ongoing referrals over time. Now, I'll ask audiences. I'm not asking you this. I'll ask audiences sometimes, where are you with your own clients? Are you at visibility, credibility, or profitability? And they'll say, oh, I'm at credibility, or profitability. I'm absolutely at profitability. They're my clients. Okay, you got to understand, this is not a sales process. VCP is not a sales process. It's a referral process. So you have to ask yourself, do the overwhelming majority of your clients give you regular referrals? Be honest when you say this to yourself. Do the overwhelming majority of your clients give you regular referrals? And if the answer is yes, then you're at profitability with the majority of your clients. If the answer is no, some do. Some give me really good ones, but not the majority. Then you're not at profitability with your own clients. You're at credibility. We're assuming you're at credibility because they're doing business with you. So then it's a matter of moving them over to profitability. So oftentimes the people that are giving you referrals may not be the majority of your clients. They may be some other people. And that's why you need both your clients and other people who are going to be networking with you and people in power teams and whatnot that you build these relationships with that are going to give you referrals on an ongoing basis. Visibility, credibility, profitability, you have to have all three. And so when you go to networking events, I tell people, you go to networking events, it's not about direct selling. They say, well, why do I go? I want business. I want you to get business. But it's about going, moving through the VCP process. So if you go to an organization where you don't know very many people, it's all about visibility. They have to get to know you. If you go to an organization and there are people you already know, make sure to connect with those people. It's about touch points, staying connected. Hey, it's good to see you again. It was great talking to you the last time we were here. And you continue to build that relationship. If you're a people your profitability with, it's a big hug. Awesome to see you. Let's get together for lunch. So you go to these events to network, but you network differently based on where you're at in the relationship. By the way, if you send out, let's say you go to a networking event, you get a lot of business cards, and you send an email to everyone talking about some big event that you've got going on. What is that for the person who's receiving it? It's spam. And some people think that's the objective of networking, is to get cards and then spam people. I'm here to tell you it's not. Not if you want to do it right. It's about understanding the VCP, working through the VCP process, really building credibility, and then getting to the referral process. And so one of the things that we learned in the book Business Networking and Sex, Not What You Think, and we don't have any copies. We have some for the VIP team. I think it's the VIP group, yeah, Howard?
777.
777. You're going to get some free copies of Business Networking and Sex from Howard.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah. And if we don't have enough here, I'll send some more to Howard to make sure you've got it. And then we do have Networking Like a Pro here. Brian Scott does, so feel free to see him on that. One of the things we learned in Business Networking and Sex is that a lot of business professionals really take different paths in the way they network. Some are very direct, really direct. They go, right to doing business. And some kind of take a meandering path along the way. We found that the genders actually have a pretty substantial difference in the way they network. Now, if you look at those two, let's start with the one on the left. Do you believe that direct, straight to the point path is men or women?
Men.
Yeah, that is so men. That is so men. Straight to the point, right to the direct selling. And the women tend to take this meandering path. They really do. But let me tell you, there's some benefits to that. We're going to talk about that in a few moments. I remember I went to one networking event once, and there was a gentleman standing next to me, myself, and another woman, and then a second woman came up. And we were all networking. Of course, the guy's, he's passing out cards. He's ready to do transactions. And so the second woman comes up, and she introduces herself, and the first woman says to her, "Not, what do you do?" No, the first woman says, "How did you hear about tonight's event?" And the woman said, "Oh, you know what? A really good friend of mine, Sally, invited me to this event." And then the first woman says, "Oh my goodness, you know Sally? I know Sally. How do you know Sally?" And they're like talking about this. I look over at the guy, and the guy's sitting there going, I was ready for him to like go, "Bleed me out. Who cares about Sally? We're here to network." Right? And it's really funny, and we found that men tend to be more transactional now, and women tend to be more relational. Now, look, some people, and this is, by the way, this is based on a survey of 12,000 people. Okay? Now, people look at this and they go, "Yeah, I'm a man. I'm not transactional, or I'm a woman. I'm not relational." Okay, this isn't about you. This is not about you. This is about 12,000 people that we surveyed, and when you survey 12,000 people, you kind of get a consistent pattern, and we did. Men are more likely to be transactional, and women are more likely to be relational. And this applies not only in business, this applies, I believe, in life. You tell me if you think this is accurate or not. Go to the Gap and buy a pair of jeans. Men. Boom. Go to the Gap, time 16 minutes, purchase jeans, cost $35, set a new world record, they're happy. Yes, women. This is my favorite part. They passed the gap. Passed the gap. Here we go. For 2 hours. 2 hours and 16 minutes. Purchased jeans, shoes, handbag, perfume, makeup. Cost $876. Look, not every man and woman are like this, but there would not be this laughter in the room if there weren't a little bit of truth to this. I mean, there certainly is in my relationship with Elizabeth. Where are you at, Elizabeth? You're in here somewhere. There's Elizabeth. By the way, for those of you in BNI, I met Elizabeth in BNI. It was the best referral I ever got. It's really good. Well, I swear to you, I'm not joking. When Beth saw this, I showed it to her. She said, $876 for all of that? Man, her husband got a bargain. That was great. Are you kidding me? Okay. So, look, let's talk about networking face-to-face, because our networking as it applies to both men and women for just a moment, and talk about transactional versus relational, because this is really important. Average number of hours spent per week based on the survey of 12,000, just over 12,000 people was 6.31, let's just say 6.5 hours. Roughly 6.5 hours a week, networking was the average. That was the average, but here's a really important question. How many of you, your goal in life, in business, your goal in business is to be average? Okay? Nobody's goal is to be average. That's average. So if you want to be more successful, you need to spend more than 6.5 hours. This is all networking activities. It's going to networking meetings. It's doing one-to-ones. It could be participating in a service club, participating in a charitable organization, those kinds of things. You're meeting people. All of those things. You need to be doing more than 6.5 hours a week. And I'll show you a graph later that kind of illustrates that even better. Men spent 6.44 hours a week. Women spent 6.19 hours a week on average networking. That is, women spent less time networking than men. The average percentage of business generated based on this survey was 46.7% just from their networking activities. That's it. They got almost half their business just from networking. Men generated 43.96% of their business. Women generated 49.44% of their business. Let's review. Women spent less time networking and generated a higher percentage of their business networking. Yeah, go girl. So, what was the one big difference between the way most or many women networked versus the way many men networked? It was that transactional versus relational. And so what we did was we took gender out of it and we just looked at those two things. And we said, is someone who behaves relationally in their networking, man or woman, how does that compare to those people who do business transactionally? And we found that that held true. That men or women who in their business are more relational are going to generate more business than those who are transactional. This is not a face-to-face cold calling opportunity. That would be transactional. This is an opportunity to build relationships. It's all about relationships. And I am positive that Howard Partridge teaches that. Okay? It is all about building relationships with other people. Okay, so as I start talking about, we're moving into the skill set, and then Brian's going to cover the rest of the skill set stuff. But as we start talking about the skill set, you have to understand that it doesn't happen in a vacuum. It has to happen within the context of building relationships. And so if you go out and just start doing these techniques and you don't have the right mindset, it's going to fall flat. It's not going to work. So let's talk about networking face-to-face. By the way, here's that graph I said I would mention. The more hours people put in, the higher percentage of business they generated. There is a direct and dramatic linear correlation between the amount of time spent and the amount of business generated based on the survey of 12,000 people. So if you spend more time networking, you're going to generate a higher percentage of your business through networking. The average was 6.5% with almost half their business, 47% of their business coming through networking. But if you spend more time, you get a higher percentage of business. Make sense? Okay. Networking face-to-face. Let's talk a little bit about this. I think most business professionals are basically cave dwellers. They get up in the morning, they're in this really large cave with a big screen television. They go out to their garage, they get into this little cave with four wheels called their car. They drive out to this really big cave with computers called their office. They stay there all day long. And at the end of the day, they get back into their little cave with four wheels. They drive back to their large cave with a big screen TV. And they can't figure out why no one is referring them. Networking, networking is a contact sport. You know, you got to go out and get belly to belly with people and actually talk to them. Build that relationship with them. Get to know them and trust them. Remember, this is all about relationships. So networking is absolutely a contact sport. You got to get out there. So where are you going to go to get out there? We're going to talk for a moment about the four streams of a network. There are different types of networks that you can participate in. One is a casual contact network. This is where you allow many people from overlapping professions. They get together in a mixer environment to network with one another. These are groups like chambers of commerce. A lot of people, overlapping professions, get together oftentimes on a monthly basis. Next is a knowledge network. Generally, like a business association, this would be most likely a knowledge network. You're getting together to share information and knowledge. It's not about referrals. Now, referrals may happen, but it's about sharing knowledge and information and kind of sharpening your axe. The next is a strong contact network. Strong contact network allows only one person per profession. They get together every week. Their primary purpose is to pass each other referrals. I'm talking about a group like BNI. BNI is a strong contact network. And then, of course, online networking is very important. I'm a believer in social media. Sometimes people say, hey, look, the founder of BNI recommends online. Yeah, absolutely. It's a fantastic way to build visibility. And it's also a great way to maintain credibility after you've made that visibility, after you've met people. I think it's fantastic. But if you're here to build your business just through online, I think it's a mistake. I think you're missing a really important arm of your marketing. I think it is one of the quivers, one of the arrows that you have to shoot for business. Okay? So let's talk about, you've decided to go join some networking organization. You walk into the networking organization. There's a whole lot of people standing around. And you go, I don't even know where to start. I have no idea where to start. Where do I go? So you look at the room like this. And let me give you some suggestions. You're going to see groups of people that are in what are called closed twos, closed threes, closed groups. They're closed. You can't have a conversation with them. It's hard. They're in a huddle. So it's hard to break into that. Unless somebody introduces you, breaks in and introduces you, it's really difficult. On the other hand, you're going to go into a networking event and you're going to see open twos, open threes, open fours. Very easy to strike up a conversation with people that are in open twos, open threes. So when you go into a networking room, quickly scan the room, look for the open groups and kind of settle on in. Just slide in. Start to have a conversation with them so that when you walk into a room like this, you can quickly see where are the open twos, where are the open threes, where are the individuals have a strike. Although I have found it's actually easier to strike up a conversation with two or three people than one individual person because you don't even have to really much say anything other than kind of come on in. They'll notice you, then you introduce yourself. That's a little, for me, that's a little bit easier. And so you go with what works for you. But when you walk into a room, you go, where do I start? Open twos. This is so simple. But it's not easy. A lot of what I teach, a lot of what Brian's going to teach you is simple but not easy. It's not easy because you get in there and you see somebody you know and you're like, oh, it's really good to see you. And then you stand there for 30 minutes with that person. Because you get caught up in the conversation and you don't realize, oh, wait, this is a networking event. I need to actually go meet people. Where do I start? So, you know, it's simple but not easy because it's really easy to get connected with the people you already know, and that's really not the only reason you're there. It's part of the reason you're there, but not the only reason you're there. Okay, so, and by the way, if you are in a networking organization, you want to teach the person who's hosting so that when the visitor comes in to that networking organization, you want to teach all of the members of that organization, particularly the guest host or visitor host, to have people standing in open twos and open threes. Never have, train your members to never stand in closed settings. Always open it up so that it's very easy to come around and introduce to people. It's a subtle but significant difference. And we've tested this in BNI and found that groups that often stand in open stances are considered to be much friendlier than those who are in closed stances. Next. Let's take a look at this, the time confidence curve. This is really important, the time confidence curve. No matter what business you're in, it's going to take a certain amount of time before people have confidence in your ability to provide a quality product or service. And again, remember, it's not your confidence that counts. It's not your credibility that counts. It's their confidence in your credibility. It's what they think about how you are as a business professional. And different professions take a different amount of time in order to achieve that credibility in business. So that a florist might be pretty quick, a printer might take a little longer, a real estate agent even longer, and that investment advisor is off the scale. And so it takes time to build that credibility. And every client's not exactly the same that you might have. It might take a little longer for others and a little less for some. But based on your profession, you have to kind of get a sense of where am I as a rule in the time confidence curve. When you start talking about businesses like even printers or real estate agents, that time confidence curve could be a year or more. People, you know, I see people who join me and they're only like 6 months. Well, this ain't working for me. Yeah, well, you know what? You got to build relationships. And building relationships takes time. Come on, think about it for a moment. When you think of some of your best friends, how long did it take to become a really good friend of them? Did you do it in a month? Were they your best friend in a month? This is an audience participation portion, so you can at least say yes, no. Did you do it in a month? Did you do it in 3 months? How about 6 months? Yeah, man, now we're getting to maybe. How about a year? Yeah, it took at least a year usually. Sometimes 6 months it could start, but it was generally about a year, and then this person's a really close friend. Well, networking is that on steroids. Because when you give a referral away, you give a little bit of your reputation away with it. When you give a good referral, it enhances your reputation. If you give a bad referral, it hurts your reputation. And so you want to give referrals to people that you know, like, and trust. All right? I love the balloon thing, by the way. It scared me at first. I thought someone was shooting at me, but after the second or third one, I got it, and I really like it. So here's the thing. This is really funny, and I'm going to start wrapping up my presentation. I'm going to turn over to Brian, who's going to get into even more skill set stuff. I wanted to lay up mostly the mindset and a little bit of skill set. He's going to give you more skill set. But I want to leave this with you that there. People have this perception about how good they are at networking. And you know what? It doesn't always line up with reality. One of the things we did in the survey, the gender survey, and here we found very little difference between men and women. When we asked, are you uncomfortable networking? Roughly 88% of both men and women said never or almost never. And when we said, are you uncomfortable networking? About 5% said always. And so we thought, wow, that's not what we expected. We expected people to be more uncomfortable. And so, because we've seen people network, and they're not all that good at it, right? So this surprised us. So then we thought, you know what, let's do a real quick survey just to compare it, except we flipped it on its head. We said, do you think the average person is uncomfortable networking? Look at the difference in the numbers. It goes from 88% to about 48%, always or most of the time being uncomfortable networking. It went to 20%, four times greater when you talk about someone else. So here's what this means in a nutshell. When most people think of themselves as a networker, they think, I'm good. I know what I'm doing. They don't know what they're doing, but I'm really good at what I'm doing. And so we may not be giving the impression that we think we are when we're networking. And I would urge you to take the concepts that I've talked about, the mindset concepts and some of the skill set concepts I've talked about, and a lot of the skill set concepts that Brian's about to talk about, and really go deep and learn how to do these so that your perception is reality. That people look to you and they go, wow, this person really knows how to network. And you know what that means? That means you've got to go out and practice. You got to take this stuff. You just got to go out there and practice it and practice it and practice it and practice it. And don't worry about making mistakes, because you will. You're going to make mistakes. We all make mistakes. You know, you can't define yourself by your mistakes. I think successful people, you've heard this many times, learn from their mistakes. But I think you define yourself from your successes and you learn from your failures. And so you've got to learn from those failures. And people oftentimes look at me and go, wow, he's so successful. He hasn't had any failures. Let me tell you, I've had some big failures. I'm going to share one with you right now. I had one huge failure on live television. I'm going to tell you this story. I'm going to wrap up my presentation with this story. Talking about, look, you've got to go out and practice even if you're going to make mistakes. Because you're going to make mistakes. I made mistakes. I certainly made this big mistake on live television once. I just released my first really big book called The World's Best Known Marketing Secret, and my publicist called me up and said, hey, Ivan, we have this chance to do a live television interview, live. And I said, oh, fantastic. And she said, this is going to go to a really big market, and you're going to go on, and I think it's going to be great for the book. I said, fantastic, I'm all in. She said, there are two little stipulations. One is, it has to be visual. I said, visual? I'm talking about networking. What do I do? Run up and down the aisles, pass out business cards? She said, you're the expert, figure something out. So I was like, okay, I came up with this really stupid idea, by the way, the tools to network, and I came in with the toolbox and had business cards and badges, and it was lame, I know, but I couldn't think of anything else. And so now I'm really sweating it, because I know that's not very visual. I wanted to certainly do something more visual than that. And so while I was meeting with the director literally the day before we went to this interview, I said, look, I got to do something more visual. He said, well, what do you have in mind? I said, what if I do like maybe a little magic trick on stage? He said, well, how would you do that? I said, well, look, what I'll do is when we get to the end of the interview, I'll ask the host to hold up a copy of the book, and I'll say to the host, oh, be careful. And he or she will say, oh, why is that? And then I'll take the book from her, and I'll open it up, and I'll say, because that's hot. Right? That's hot. That book is hot. Right? And so he says, yeah, that's visual. That's good. Do that. So I'm like, okay, I know I got this stupid little box thing, but I've got this really great ending. So we get there. There we are in there. Oh, and she said, by the way, live, no tape delay. This was before Janet Jackson and the Super Bowl. Where now everything is tape delayed. So she said, whatever you say comes out live on the air. Are you still okay with it? I'm like, oh, I was until you told me that. Yes, okay, I'm all right. So we get there. Well, I'm sitting in the green room, and this guy walks by dressed as a Native American, some guy dressed by like a construction worker, and then a Navy guy. And I was like, someone says, that looks like the Village People. And we said, no, that can't be the Village People. And we're watching the TV show live. And they went to commercial. And right before they went to the commercial, the announcer says, ladies and gentlemen, next on the Fairfield County Exchange, the Village People! And Dr. Ivan Meisner to talk about networking. Are you kidding me? I go on after the Village People? You talk about visual. Well, you know, you have this, you have what's called flash paper that you put in this little device, and then you put a little more flash paper, it's a little bit bigger flash. And so I thought, man, this has got to be visual. I'm going to put just a little bit more of that flash paper in. Just a little bit. Now I watch the Village People go on out, and of course, they're visual. And they're all out there singing, and the camera pans to the audience, and everyone's on their feet, and they're all dancing, and I know I'm up next. I'm going, oh, this is going to be ugly. I'm going to put just a little bit more of that flash paper. The last song. What's the last song?
YMCA.
It's got to be YMCA. Now the cameras are completely on the audience, and the entire audience is on their feet, and they're all doing this YMCA. I'm like, oh, okay. Just a little bit more of this. So they ran over time. Live television ran over time. The producer comes running in and says, hey, look, who's Meisner? Meisner, who's Meisner? I'm like, I'm Meisner. You're on next, and we're running behind. And so while you're talking to the host about what you're going to talk about, there's going to be a guy who's going to be putting a microphone on you. So you're going to have to talk really quick, and they're going to put the microphone on you. And then you're up next, literally in just like 4 minutes. I said, okay, fine, let's go. Could you hang on just 1 second? More. So we get on out there. I'm talking to the woman who said there's a host and a host, a co-host, a man and a woman. And I was doing the interview mostly with the woman. And the woman start talking about what we're going to talk about. And I said, yeah, this is great. I'm happy to do all this. And here's this toolbox. I knew it was weenie. But I said, at the end, I got a really, really important end. Would you mind terribly holding up the book? And when you hold up the book, I'm going to say, now while I'm having this conversation, there's some big burly guy putting a microphone up around me. And I'm trying to have this conversation while all this is going on. And I said, I'm going to say, and just as I get to that point, the director walks up and says, no. No, 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 no. I don't want her holding up the book. We're going to have a JPEG of it up on screen. I don't want her holding the book. It's too much. She can't do it. Now, the host looks at me and like the blood drains from my face because that's my big ending. And she says, I'm the host. What do you want to do? Tell me. I said, oh, if you don't mind, just hold up the book. When you hold up the book, I'm going to say, now I didn't realize it, but the mic is now hot. It's live. And the director is hearing us conspire. And so the director comes on over and says, no, look, you two, I told you no, you cannot do that. And you're on live in 4, 3, 2. The host looks at me and says, that's okay, don't worry about it. I'll go with it. So we get to the very end of the interview. And she, being the consummate professional she is, she holds up a copy of the book. And she says, I have here a copy of Dr. Meisner's book. I say, ah, careful. She says, why is that? I take it from her and I go, because that's hot. And I maybe put a little too much stuff in it, because it goes, whoosh! And she goes, ah! And I swear to you, she jumps into the lap of her co-host. She is laying in the lap of her co-host. Great photo up here. Ah! Laying in the lap of her co-host. The director, I look at the director, director's in the back like this. What I didn't realize is that when you put that much flame in something, it blinds the cameramen. 3 cameramen are all standing away from the cameras like this. This is before it was all automated. It was 20 years ago, and so nobody's on the cameras. They're all rubbing their eyes because they can't see. We're still on live television. The only thing this woman could say is, oh, 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 thank God I didn't swear on live television. As we are on live television, her co-host has said nothing, absolutely, positively nothing, until this moment. He looks off stage and he says, wardrobe, new pants for her, please. The director says, cut, go to commercial. Cut, go to commercial. My director's off camera and he goes, that was visual. He said, but we should probably leave now. In most states in the United States, I am considered an expert on networking. In Connecticut, I'm considered an arsonist. We're all going to make mistakes. It's okay. You're probably not going to mistake on live television when you're doing all this networking. But we learn from it. I never do magic now, certainly with fire, in any studio today. It's okay. It's okay to make mistakes because they end up becoming really learning lessons and make you a better business professional. We are not our mistakes in life. We are, in fact, our successes. You know, Ralph Waldo Emerson once said that what lies before us and what lies behind us is nothing compared to what lies within us. What I love about what we teach is that it's about taking the best that lies within us. It's about taking this idea, this concept of giver's gain, about building relationships, about getting to know people and help them and help them do better. And ladies and gentlemen, I cannot think of a better way to do business into the next century than that. Thank you all very much for your time. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, 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 yes. Woo! Better than phenomenal. All right, to finish up this segment, our next speaker, Brian Hilliard, co-author with Dr. Meisner. I was thinking about the butterfly effect when Dr. Meisner was talking about that, and I said, well, how did Ivan Meisner get here? Well, I met with Brian. I met Brian over at the Wyndham Hotel, and we had a conversation. I said, how do I get Ivan here? And I met Ivan through Gail Stoltenberg. So I went and asked Gail, I said, Gail, how did we meet? And he said, well, we did B&I leadership stuff together. And I said, yeah, but it was before that. I was a speaker at a marketing workshop, a local marketing thing. And Gail is the consummate networker. He steps up, buys my referral marketing package. We get a picture together. And then you see Gail everywhere, right? And by the way, Elise, who was up here just a second ago, shared that it was a B&I meeting that Gail invited me to speak at, and the reason that we're so blessed to have Elise here. So you see the butterfly effect all around the room here. And Brian's a phenomenal individual. He's a popular speaker and co-author of the best-selling book, Networking Like a Pro with Dr. Ivan Meisner. As founder of Agito Consulting, Brian is best known for helping busy entrepreneurs market their business in less than 90 days. Brian has been interviewed by Black Enterprise Magazine and the Martha Zoller Morning Show, where his broadcast went to over 2 million listeners. When not traveling and speaking across the country, Brian leads individual and small group coaching classes around his popular program, Building a World-Class Referral-Based Business. Some of Brian's interests include playing golf, basketball, and watching as many movies as possible on Netflix. Please give a BTP welcome to Brian Hilliard, the man who brought Ivan Meisner to us. Come on up here. Butterfly effect, in action. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Oh, okay.
A little less conversation. Thank you very much.
How's everybody doing today? Oh, give me a little bit more. How's everybody doing today? That's what I want to hear. You know, Dr. Ivan Meisner did a great job. Didn't he do a great job? Let's give him another round of applause. I had a chance to spend some time with him. We wrote the book together, and we've done a number of different things. And if you haven't really had a chance to talk with him or get to know him, he is really the real deal. He's very genuine. His wife, Beth, is awesome. She's also a great cook and businesswoman in her own right. And if you get a chance to be able to talk with them, or if you get a chance to be able to part of B&I, I would highly, highly recommend it. Awesome, awesome stuff. What we are going to talk a little bit about today is we're going to talk a little bit about the skill set, all right? So you heard Dr. Meisner talk a little bit about mindset. What we're going to do is we're going to talk a little bit about skill set. Well, you know, you say, well, what does that mean, Brian? Give me a feel for what we're talking about. Well, skill set are the things, the techniques. They are the things that you need to be able to do to actually be successful when you're out networking, right? Because one of the points that Dr. Meisner made earlier was the idea that what happens? Everybody thinks that they're a great networker. It's kind of like driving a car. Whenever he says that, I think to myself, how many bad drivers do we have here? No. So how many good drivers do we have here, right? So how does anybody get into an accident, right? And it's the same type of thing when you go with networking. You have the same deal where people are going out and it's inadvertent. You know what I mean? It's not something where they're purposely trying to do that. But what happens, quite simply, is they engage in some transactional actions that when is put together, it's, you know, I love that face-to-face cold calling, which is the opposite of where we're trying to go. All right? So that's what we're going to do. Before we get into that, let me tell you a little bit about myself here real quick. How many people think I'm from the South? Anybody want to take a guess what region of the country I'm originally from? North Dakota. Who said North Dakota? That's the second person that said that. I don't understand that. Who? Okay, East Coast. That's warmer. Give me a state. Okay, New York City? No. Okay, that's closer. The small state with the big name. There we go. Say it again. That's exactly right. I actually am from Connecticut, raised there. Actually, my brother is in the house. Let's give him a warm round of applause. He's right behind us over there. Yeah. We were thinking, my brother and I, people say my brother and I look alike. And it was interesting because when I realized he was going to come down here, there was a conversation about maybe like fooling Howard. The problem was I wasn't sure how funny that was going to be to Howard. But anyway, Born and raised in Connecticut, actually, went to school in North Carolina. I went to Duke University, talked a little bit about, I was had an economics degree, marketing minor. Actually now am able to, you know, fast forward. I started in 2001 with my coaching and speaking business, wrote the book with Dr. Ivan Meisner on the networking like a pro earlier, like we talked about. And what I do at the end of the day is I specialize in helping busy entrepreneurs market their business in less than 90 days. So that's kind of my deal in terms of what it is that we've got. And we're going to spend just a few minutes here talking a little bit about what I call the top three mistakes people make while networking. All right, does that sound good to everybody? Top three mistakes? It didn't sound phenomenal. Does that sound good to everybody? Okay, all right. Top three mistakes people make while networking. And this is something you can jot some notes down if you want. You know, we'll talk a little bit about how to get around it and all that kind of good stuff. Top three mistakes people make while networking. Mistake number three, people ask me why I do the countdown. Because I'm the speaker. Number three is trying to be everything to everyone. All right, trying to be everything to everyone. Now, as a business people here in the room, what happens? We go out and we're trying to grow our business, right? Does anybody not want to build their business? No, we're all trying to build our business, aren't we? So what happens is we go out and we say, somebody comes up to us and they say, you know what, can you do this? And what do we say? Of course I can. Anybody remember the old IBM commercials? Sometimes people, you remember the old IBM commercials where the guy went on there and it's like, yes, we can do this. And his staff was always like, oh, no, right? So what we want to be able to do is you want to be able to say, yes, I can do that. Why? Because we don't want to miss out on what? On the business, on the opportunity, right? But how many times do you see people when they say they do all these things, they're not known for any one thing, right? How does the phrase go? Master of none, okay? The same thing is true when it comes to your business. Now, people ask me, they say, well, Brian, how does that work exactly? Well, what I like to be able to do is I like to talk about a concept called spheres of influence, all right? Spheres of influence, so the opposite of being everything to everyone is spheres of influence. And quite simply, that means you can think of them as target markets if you want, but spheres of influence quite simply is who are most likely going to want to work with you? Let me say that again. Who are going to most likely want to work with you? All right? A lot of times where we get ourselves into trouble, I've had this myself, we get ourselves into trouble because what happens is we try to fit our service into what we think that the other people want. All right? Here's the problem with that, and I'll just be flat out with you guys. You know what the problem with that is? It comes from a scarcity mindset. I know Dr. Meisner talked about mindset a little bit. It comes from a scarcity mindset. And here's how you know this is the case. You ever go out to a networking event, right? You go to a networking event, and what happens? You see the guy handing out all the business cards, and he's handing out here, and he's handing out there, and whoa, hey, I got this for you here, and ho-ho! Thank you. That was my first joke of the day. Thank you. They get funnier as I talk more. What happens is they're going, you've seen this, handing out cards because they're trying to be everything to everyone. They're saying, yeah, we can do that. Okay. What you want to do to get around that, I'm recommending 2 to 3 target markets or spheres of influence. People who are most likely to use your service. Then what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to go to the networking events where those people are most available, right? People miss these. I'll tell you, you know, obviously you're going to want to check out the chamber. Obviously you're going to want to check out B&I. Obviously you're going to want to check out your community groups. But also, less obviously, you're going to want to check out maybe association groups. So if you're trying to, I'm just making up a thing, if there are mortgage brokers in here and they want to get in touch with real estate agents, well, there's a real estate agent association. All right, in this case, Houston Association of Realtors. There are industry groups and trade associations all across the country, all over. You just have to look for them. And what you'll find is a lot of times who it is that you want to meet, they are all right there. Now you're out there networking like a pro, doing some of the things that we talked about. Does that make sense to everybody? All right. And the other point I want to make inside of that real quick is the idea that part of understanding who you need to be networking with in the first place, again, the spheres of influence, you need to be able to first understand what it is people are buying from you. I call that your true product. All right? A lot of times people think, oh, and I'll give you a hint, it's not your service as you think it is. What people are buying from me, well, let me ask you. I'm a marketing person. We talk about word of mouth. What do you think people are buying from me?
Profits.
That's a good one. It's close. Give me, it's, what do they buy? Profits, but it's really more business? It's close. I'm fine with that. Is everybody with me on that?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, sales, more business. To a certain degree, you know, what are people buying from Howard? People are buying peace of mind, systematized, not have to worry about it. Am I making sense? Okay? So what you want to be doing is you want to think, what is it that people, what is your true product? Then from there, you can say, well, who's most likely to want that? That's your spheres of influence. Everybody still with me on this? Then from there, you're going out to the places to network. Am I making sense?
Yes.
Okay? All right. Mistake number two. So that was mistake number three. We're going to open up for some Q&A as well here in a little bit. Mistake number two, this is something that I see a lot. This is where people are. You ever find the person who comes in and they're just, all they're doing is talking about themselves? How many people like that? Right? But we've seen it, haven't we? People are going in there and they're just chattering away about everything. Okay? Now, do we want to have somebody, when we meet them while networking, are we more likely to have, do we want to have somebody who's talking about themselves or listens?
Listens.
Right? Okay. One of the things that I always talk about is you want to ask questions when you are networking. I'm going to give you three surefire questions to kind of help you stand out from the crowd. Is that all right with everybody?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. First one, in no particular order, I always like to ask people, where else do they normally network? All right. Where else do you normally network? I also like to ask people, what do they like best about what they do? And then from there, after we've gone through all of that, I ask them, you know, where else do you normally network? What do you like best about what you do? And what got you started in that direction? Is everybody with me on this? You see, when we first wrote our book on networking like a pro, one of the points that Dr. Meisner, myself, and David Alexander, also an author, one of the things that we talked about was this idea of a visible identity. All right? Visible identity is very, very simple. It simply says, how do you differentiate yourself in the mind of that person from the other five people that they've already met? When you do that, you are being more consistent. People are standing out. People say, oh, well, I'm a CPA, and there's all these CPAs. How do I stand out, Brian? I'm a coach. Well, there's all these other coaches. How do I stand out? I'm in the, you know, carpet cleaning industry and the business, and there's other people. How do I stand out? A big part of it is being able to connect with people in the first place. It is not by chattering away. It is by asking questions. People are then getting into a conversation. The point of networking is to create a connection where a future business relationship can take place. I'm going to say that again. The point of networking is to create a platform where a future business relationship can take place. That's why we do it. That's why we get up. That's why we take a shower. That's why we put on the clothes. And that's why we drive to the event. All right. If you're not doing that on a consistent basis, well, then you're not networking. I tell people, they're like, well, you're getting out of the house. You're meeting some people. You know, you're putting in your steps for all of you people with that. Or whatever. But you're not networking. You're doing something else. You're doing something else. I don't know what else it is, but it's not that. All right? So what you want to do is when you're going out and you're networking with people, you want to make sure that you are absolutely making sure that you are creating a connection with folks and creating an opportunity where that can go to the next level. Am I making sense with that? Okay. Let me stop here. We're going to do a little Q&A. We're also going to do a raffle. So let me tell you what I'd like you to do. If you have a business card, we've got the ladies back there. They are, Victoria is around here somewhere. I'm not sure where she is, but I'm sure she's over here somewhere. We are going to get the business cards. Here's the deal. If you want to be included in the raffle, I'm going to need a business card. You can put it into our little deal, okay? We'll also be on the, because I only have a few minutes here to be talking with you guys, we'll also be giving some value adds as we go via email. So if you don't want that, just put no newsletter. That's totally fine. And we'll also be giving updates on our new book that's going to be coming out as well. So if you'd like to be included in the raffle, just put your name in there. We'll be good to go. While we're doing that, let me open it up for a little Q&A action if I can. We've talked about a bunch of good stuff. If you want to talk to me a little bit about with Dr. Meiser, that would be awesome. Yes, sir.
What got you into what you're doing?
Say that again.
What got you into what you're
doing? Oh, okay. Well, can everybody? Yeah, let's get that. Thank you so much. Right there.
I'm using one of your own questions. What made you get in what you're doing?
Okay. Did everybody hear the question? All right. Asking me how I got started in doing what I'm doing. I got started back in 2001. And, you know, part of what it comes down to is my mom actually is a motivational speaker, and she was the one that kind of inspired me to move forward in that regard. You know, I remember when I was a kid, this was before cell phones, obviously. This was before, you know, we had two lines in the house, like literally two lines in the house. And you always had to answer Vera Hilliard and Associates at the house, you know. So I guess you could say it's an entrepreneurial spirit. And from there, I was able to kind of obviously transition that into my own business. That's a good question, though. Somebody else, we got some more questions here. Yes, sir.
Where else do you normally speak?
Where else? All right, so we're going to go through all three. All right, that's fine. Okay, that's fine. Where else do I normally speak? What I do is I do a lot of work here actually in Houston. I do a lot of work here in the Houston market. I do a lot of work in the Southeast as well. You know, for me, I like to be able to kind of stay around in that area. Even the way I run my business is very network and relationship oriented. You know, Gail Stolzenberg, I've known him for a long time, got me, quite frankly, to meet Howard, as you guys already heard, and be able to get up here and do some of these things. So, yeah, I try to stay around in the same spots. You know, I also speak a lot at conferences and associations, so if you happen to know of that, that would be a good referral for me, annual meetings or things like that. But, yeah, that's what I do. We'll take one more. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll come back to you. Go ahead, ma'am.
Hello, Amber Hansen.
Yeah, hey, Amber.
I bumped into you earlier. And
yes, you did. I remember.
Yeah, you referenced your red pin and your red jacket. Is that part of branding you, and is it tied to the book?
You mentioned my jacket, yeah. So here's the funny story around that, okay? So I used to work at a company. I worked in corporate for a while before I started doing my own thing. And I was in corporate, and there was a networking event going on that night, right? So I got back, I ran home, and I was like, okay, I didn't know what I was supposed to wear. So I had a jacket. There was like a jacket. It wasn't this one. I had a jacket, and it was like a turquoise one. And I was like, you know, I'm a motivational speaker. I can wear this jacket. So I wore it. It was the only thing I had. So I wore the jacket. I went out. People were like, oh, wow, that's an awesome jacket. I said, thank you. You know, this is what I do all the time. It's like my second event. And, you know, this is my brand. So I went out and I did that. And then there was another event. And, you know, like the next week. So I was like, well, I'll wear it again. Wear the same jacket, right? And then, you know, fast forward, I wound up, people just kept, you know, commenting and saying what they liked. I changed it one time. This was for International Networking Week about 5 or 6 years ago. I didn't wear the jacket. I was like, well, this is ridiculous. Not everybody likes it. People were coming up to me and saying, what about the jacket? Okay, so yeah, it's kind of my personal brand. All right, last one, and then we'll move on.
What are the two other top mistakes?
Oh, we haven't gotten to mistake number one yet. I should have said that. Yeah. So mistake number three, that's a good question, though. Mistake number three is trying to be everything to everyone. Mistake number two is talking too much about yourself, okay? What we're going to do is we're going to do the raffle first, and then we'll get into mistake number one. Where are my little, where's the thing to do the raffle? The business cards. Come on down. Dun, 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 dun. All right. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Yeah, she's been doing a great job, huh? She's been doing an awesome job. All right, so here's what we got. We have, I'm just going to put this down here, actually, so it doesn't get in my way. Some of the resources that we have, as you guys know, we've got our book on networking like a pro. This is all about turning the contacts you get into the connections that you need. We also have, and this is something that I'm kind of proud about as well, we're doing a 90-day audio boot camp. It's called How to Build a World-Class Referral-Based Business, all right? And the way that works is we've got actually two audios that go out every other week, two audios, and what they do is we talk about certain business topics in the word of mouth. So we talk about building a business through word of mouth. We talk about how you can turn those referrals into bottom line revenue for your business. This also includes a bunch of freebies as well, which includes Direct Connect email access and all of that good stuff. And what we are going to do is we are going to raffle off this baby right here. We've got a gift certificate, and I am going to pull one out. Do you guys trust me? Am I all right with this? Does anybody, you know, I don't have my own card in there, right? So that's sometimes when you ask the audience to pull it out, like every 3 or 4 months, what happens is you ask the audience to pull out, and one of them pulls out their own card, and everybody looks fine until they pull out their own card. These people turn on them like that. It's crazy. All right, let's see what I got. I don't have my glasses on, but that's okay. All right, I got Cindy Vajar? All right, let's give her a round of applause. You have to come in this area here because I've been told I can't leave this area. So you got to come. There you go. See that?
Thank you so much.
Let's give her another round of applause. Awesome, awesome, awesome. And then one more. You guys want to do one more? We'll raffle something off. I'm feeling good. One more. All right. Here's what I got. I mentioned the idea of our audio program, right? The audio bootcamp, building a world-class referral-based business. What I'm going to do is this right here is a certificate where you can either be a part of that with us, okay? It's going to be a free deal if you win. Obviously, it's not if you don't. And what we're going to do is, right, because the mortgage does have to pay for it, so it doesn't pay for itself. All right, let's see what we got here. You having a good time? Okay, you look like you weren't, though. Okay. He's like, I'm dialed in, Brian. Leave me alone. All right.
And you got my core.
Did I really? Randy. Hanson Cleaning, steam the way. What do we got? All right. You got to come into the box. This is the box. There you go. That's for you. And what I'm going to do is I'll put you on, because there are going to be emails that go out for you, and you are on the program. Awesome. Thanks to my brother. Awesome. All right. Thanks so much. All right, guys. Here we go. This is the big finish, the grand finale, the I don't know what. Number one, a big mistake, number one mistake, in my opinion, that most networkers make is, and as soon as I say it, you'll be like, oh, lack of follow-up. Right? I want to bring in some theme music. I've been thinking about doing that, but I thought that would be too much. Yeah. You know, like something like, da-da! When you go out and network, what's the problem? You see people, if you're doing all the right things, you're engaged in skill set, you're engaged in mindset, you understand about the relationship economy, you understand about giver's gain, you understand about scarcity versus abundance. I made a couple of points in their relationship economy, right? The idea that it's not what you know, but who you know. Not my term, but it's a good one, and it makes a lot of sense, all right? But what is kind of like the kryptonite when it's all said and done? We get these stack up, we get the business cards, and what do? They just kind of go to the side. You know what my favorite is? So we get the cards, right? Let me get the. So we get a couple of cards, and we're out networking, and we're like, boy, you know what? I'm really networking. I got the stack of cards. James Cooper and I, we did an interview, and one of the points is it's kind of like sometimes it's almost like drive-by networking, right? You see people, you know, James is at the wheel, I'm in the back just flying out the cards, right? See, that's funny, right? And you see people just going out and doing that. But you see people, I've got the stack of cards. So what you want to be doing is you want to follow up with folks, don't you? People say, well, I don't know how to follow up. What can I do to follow up? Well, let me give you some ideas. First of all, I like to be able to send an email out to folks. This is my personal deal, okay? This is actually from a special report we have on how to get more referrals from everyone you meet. I'm going to read it real quick. It says, my name is Jane Smith, and I'm the consultant who met you the other day at the Chamber event. Hey, listen, I just wanted to say I really enjoyed our conversation and was hoping I could learn a little bit more about what you do. I'm thinking we could get together for a quick cup of coffee. That way, if I run into someone who could use your services, I could point them in your direction. I'm pretty booked this week. By the way, we're always booked this week. We don't have time. We're booked. All this. Pretty booked this week, but how does next Tuesday morning sound for something over at Starbucks? Again, great talking to you. If I can help out your business in any way, please let me know. Now, you get an email like that, what are you thinking to yourself? Tell me, what do you think? Yeah. Open. You know that the guy or gal knows what they're doing. They're moving forward. Am I making sense with this? Okay. You want to be able to have these types of things to be able to do that. One of the tools of the trade, if you do not have a CRM, a contact management system, you got to get something. Okay. I mean, you cannot, and I hate to be harsh like this, you cannot have a serious conversation about word of mouth business without having a good CMS system. And I'm sorry to have to be the one to tell you that. You have to find something that you like. Okay. What the objective is you want to be able to, Dr. Meisner talked about VCP, visibility, credibility, profitability. What you can also do is I've actually gone through my CRM and I will label VCP. I drop another column down. All right. Who do you think you should be spending your time with? Backwards, right? You got the profitability. Let's turn them, make them more profitable. Credibility, let's make them profitable. Is everybody with me on this? A lot of times what happens is we go through this follow-up process and we just la-la land. Right? And it just goes off into everywhere, and they don't know what it is that you do. Let me give you a quick tip, another one, so the follow-up as well. I like to be able to put people in the A, B, and C column. A's, people who you have a direct relationship with. Boy, you know what, Brian? I'd love to be able to work with you. Something like that. That doesn't happen that often in networking, but, less than 10%. B, that does happen a lot. Made a good connection, dialoguing, having a good conversation. C's, where do you think that those go? Right out the airlock. Okay, send them right into the garbage can. If you didn't get the joke, the airlock, get the joke right, bam. Okay. What you people say, oh, well, I don't want to throw out any business cards. What do, though? They take the business cards, they put them on the stack at the desk, and they're going to get to them, by golly. A few days go by, then what happens? You ever do this? You ever put the rubber band on the business cards? And like, now you mean business? I'm going to whip these things into shape, right? Doesn't happen, does it? You want to be able to go out there and you want to be able to move forward and you want to be able to move your business forward. And networking, obviously, is a big part of that. Now, some of the things that we have here, we've heard some good stuff from Dr. Meisner. Hopefully, you've heard some good stuff from me. And I know you're going to be hearing some good stuff as well from Howard and some of the other folks that we've got. When it comes to, growing yourself, one of the things I always tell people is that before, and John Maxwell says this all the time, before you can get more, you need to be more first. I see a lot of people, they want to get more. They want to get more business. They want to get more whatever referrals. They want to get more this, get more that. You need to be more, which a different way of saying this is, if you want to grow your business, you need to grow yourself first. Am I making sense with all of this? All right. If you'd like to be able to do that, we've got some resources here, and I'll just talk to them real quick. We actually have a couple of different packages for you guys. Package number one is our book package, and it talks about the Networking Like a Pro book. And in this, you get the 12 by 12 by 12 rule, which talks about perception versus reality. Quick story on this. My mom actually, as you know, is a motivational speaker. She came up with the 12 by 12 by 12 rule. And you know what the best part is about having a mom who gives you who's a motivational speaker? You can use her stuff and there's no royalties. Just goes right. She's like, oh, this is great, honey. I love this. 12 by 12 by 12 rule. So the referral generator includes our book. It includes our CD on 7 simple ways to get more referrals. And we also have our how to get more referrals from everyone you meet. All this is going to be digital and audio. Okay, that's $49 and you can go out and take a look at it if you want. We also have our next level up, which is how to overachieve without overcommitting. That's actually a book I wrote. People were complaining. What do you think people were complaining about when we talked about how to overachieve without overcommitting and why they didn't want the book? Because I don't have time to Read. I'm overcommitted, Brian. What's your problem? I put it into a two CD set. All right? I put it into a two CD set. That's the best I can do. So the set, two CD set comes with the book as well, all this other stuff, and it includes seven simple ways for better follow-up, as well as our package on prospecting through word-of-mouth marketing. That's a four CD set. That's $197. We also do these in installments, by the way. And then the whole shebang, quite simply, is this. It is our 90-day audio boot camp, as I said to you before. It includes all of the things that we've got on here. It also allows you to be able to have a 60-minute session with yours truly, and you get Direct Connect email access over a 90-day period for specific questions that you need or want to have about your business. That's $397, or again, we do those in four installments of $97. All right? Regardless of what it is that you decide you want to do, we would be able to love it. You want to be able to come over there. We're going to be signing some books. We're going to be sticking around afterwards. I think Dr. Meisner is going to be sticking around afterwards as well, if I'm not mistaken. I'll be there with him. We really appreciate you guys coming out. We appreciate you listening to us. And for Dr. Meisner, my name is Brian Hilliard, saying thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Give it up for Brian. All right, Brian. Thank you, sir. You rock, buddy. Thank you very much. Awesome. Look at this. Standing ovation.